So Bill is encouraging you to add families. This is a remarkable community or gathering. So I can think of 50 families from the East Coast who would be nourished by being with you. Let's begin with our familiar prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'd like to ask and answer four questions. What would Mary think of the hazardous conditions of our climate? In the Washington Post this last week, the annual physical of our climate was announced. From a comprehensive report compiled by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And the bottom line of the report was that last year was the warmest in the 135-year record of modern temperature measurement of our Earth. The warmest. A warmth that has increased by 36% in the last quarter century. So what would Mary think of this? What does she think of it? According to the Pope's encyclical, she grieves it actively now, grieving. So what would she say to us, given this report and the fact that she's grieving it? She would say, look, I didn't ask for this, but God depended on me to deliver the goods. And then she would go on and say, God depends on us to deliver the goods. Is that heavy? Was it heavy on her? Isn't this odd of God to depend on humans? And she would say, look, it's not the first time it happened. Could she deliver the goods? Well, all we know is she did. Can we? All we know is that we're called to. Is that too heavy? Not if you're called to it. Then you depend on the one who called you and is calling you. Is that too heavy? If God makes God dependent on what we do, trust God knows what God is doing. And how did you deliver the goods? By trusting and entrusting herself. God's ways are not our ways. And you think if God had any sense at all, God wouldn't depend on humans. That doesn't seem to be the sense God has. Isn't that too large a load to carry? Imagine what she was carrying. I think the angel said, I believe this is what I'm supposed to do. This is a baby kicking in my womb. To deliver the goods that Israel has been awaiting all these centuries? You must be kidding. God is depending on humans. By their trusting and entrusting themselves to get from the old creation to the new creation, by doing the best each of us can with this creation, God depending? This is crazy. That we in this creation are an essential part of the new creation, that's what she had to deal with. And that's what we have to deal with. This is number 241 of the encyclical. Mary, the mother who cared for Jesus, now cares with the affection of a mother and with pain for this world which is wounded. Just as her pierced heart mourned the death of Jesus, so now she grieves for the suffering of all the creatures of this world laid waste by human power and human agency. As Catholics, we have, as part of our doctrine, that she was carried up into heaven, and that she is the mother and queen of all creation. Maybe queen of heaven, fine. This is a new title. Queen of all creation, in her glorified body, together with the risen Christ, part of creation has reached the fullness of its beauty. Part of creation has reached the fullness of its beauty. That's the moment now, before the new creation reaches the fullness of its beauty. Is this a heavy trip? Was it heavy on her? What did she do to carry out what she was called to do? She trusted that she was called, and she entrusted herself to God. Therefore, we ask her to enable us to look at this world with the eyes of wisdom with which she now sees all creatures. So God depended on this little girl who knew so little to deliver the goods. Now God depends on humans, some humans, us humans who've have a new birth into Christ, in Christ. The new birth connected to his mother still. Depending on humans to deliver the goods. Around the third century, somebody, I don't really know who, cooked up the title for Mary, Theotokos, the bearer of God, Theotokos. The one who bore God into time and space and creation and nature. Theotokos. Theos, God, tokos, the bearer of God. In some way, she's now the cosmotokos, the one who has to bear God in some way into the present cosmos, and depending on us, it moves toward the future cosmos, the new heavens and the new earth. There's a transition here. Both Vatican II and Pope Francis have avoided a Mariology that would make her the mediatrix of all graces. That was a little further than the council thought would name the mystery. And it's further than Francis would go, according to this text. The mediatrix of all graces. By the same token, her person and the entrustment of her person to what God called her to be and to do and to deliver and to bear to the world is right in line with what God is calling us to do and be and have in our own each little ways. Effective in the world. The hottest year in 135 years of measurement. Something's got to happen. And Francis is suggesting that something that's got to happen has to do with us to deliver the goods. Is that too heavy a trip? Is that too big a deal? How else is it going to change? Wouldn't it be odd of God to have promised a new heavens and a new earth? And humans were the instruments in destroying the earth that was to be the new heavens and the new earth? So isn't this too heavy a load? What do you think she felt? So I think there's a real interesting and profound connection between what she was called to deliver. Who, me? You must be kidding. And what God is calling us to take into account in the styles of our life, the judgments that we make, the choices that we make, the words that we say to each other and to others about the relationship between climate, which we're affecting hazardously, and the new heavens and the new earth. So we could imagine a couple things. Let me not be so presumptuous as to imagine this on my own. St. Ignatius, excuse me, in his spiritual exercises, you go through all these exercises and you're then in the fourth week of the spiritual exercises, and Jesus dies, and Mary is beneath the cross with the other women, the disciples having fled, and he dies. So then Ignatius suggests that in your first meditation, your first Easter meditation, if you have any sense, quote unquote, what do you think he did? He appeared to his mother. I mean, get real. That's the first thing he did. He appeared to his mother. Ignatius suggesting this in the spiritual exercises. Okay, so the relief she has, the love they have for each other, the consolation that she has, he's still him. But he's cleaned up. The spit is off his face. The blood is off his head. So she's trying to take this in. And I think the first question that she has in her mind, she asks him, what is this monotheism I've been raised in all about? One God. I'm not saying scriptural things. I'm suggesting, if you have any sense, what do you think he would do as risen? First, he would see her. And what do you think she would ask? How can this be? The same thing she asked at the Annunciation. How can this be? How can this one God be now understood? And then he would explain to her the we that we have always been. Father, Son, and Spirit. So, when I bore you, and you're now risen, the one God is triune. So they have this conversation, and she becomes a Trinitarian. So she ponders this stuff in her heart. And then it reaches words. To whom do those words reach? Peter, who betrayed him, Andrew, James, John, Thaddeus, Thomas, she's not the mother of God only, she's the mother of all doctrinal developments since then. So they're all trying to catch on as they move from Unitarian to Trinitarian understanding of divinity. She was the mother, I think, this is not scriptural. But as Ignatius would say, if you have any sense at all, you might want to see it this way. So she's the mother of doctrine and its development. And it's still developing. And it's now enfolding us into the same kind of calling she had. God, depending on one little piece of creation, Homo sapiens, to deliver the goods. And then to make one little piece of the species of Homo sapiens announcers of that. Seeing the meaning of the good news in relationship to the new creation and the relationship to what we're doing to creation now. Is this too heavy a trip? That's why God is odd. God is independent of all that God has made. And then God becomes dependent. As he was on Mary, not just the fiat, but the carrying through after the fiat. As Elizabeth said of her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Part of the fruit of her womb is understanding. And the new understanding we're being asked to take in and act on and announce is that God has made the God self dependent on this passage from the old creation to the new creation on humans to change their ways, to see their responsibility in a new way, to deliver the goods. Is this too heavy a trip? I suspect she felt that sometimes. But she did her best, and something good came of it. The enfleshed Word, the Word through whom all things came to be, enfleshed in her womb, risen in our midst, and now calling us further as she was called to deliver the goods. Didn't those seem pretty small shoulders? Her little shoulders to deliver the goods? Doesn't it feel like this is a bigger deal than we can do? Yes, it's a bigger deal than we can do, but that's where the calling is going. That's what the calling is to let God have God's ways in order for the creation we are now embedded in to get itself to health, so that we can have an agency, a part of the agency of the delivering of the new creation. So this is an opening of our understanding of calling, of our calling, of what it means to be in Christ now, called to what? Called each of us as best we can to change the temperature of Earth. The encyclical finishes with this. In the end, we will find ourselves face to face with the infinite beauty of God. And we will be able to read with admiration and happiness the mystery of the universe, which with us will share in unending plenitude. Even at this moment, we are journeying toward the Sabbath of eternity, into the New Jerusalem, toward our common home, as she enjoys it. Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." Not different things, the things I make new. Eternal life for each of us will be a shared experience of awe, in which each creature, resplendently transfigured, think of the little beetle, each creature will take its rightful place in the last paragraph. In the meantime, we come together to take charge of this home that has been entrusted to us, knowing that all the good that exists here will be taken up into the new creation. In union with all creatures, we journey through this land seeking God. For if the world has had a beginning, and if its beginning has been to be created, who gave it this beginning, and who was its creator? May our efforts and concern about this, our planet, never take away the joy of our hope. Not bad, Francis, not bad. So why don't you just go into yourself in quiet for a couple minutes with your lights, your shadows, your graces, your questions, your lights, and then we'll spend, after about 5 minutes of just silently sitting here, we'll share the fruit of our pondering. So let's see where the Lord has taken us. or where our minds have gotten. So, Andy has the mic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm relatively new to the Catholic faith. I went through RCIA in 2000, and going through that discernment process, I had to make conscious choices. I was going through trying to decide if this is really what I wanted. And so listening to today, I just feel like God made a conscious choice to choose Mary. He knew she was capable of fulfilling that and holding expectations for her. And as a parent, I do that. I hold expectations for my kids. I help guide them through their life, and I hope that they will make choices that better the environment, better their community, better their selves, and can carry that forward. And I just feel like it's a conscious choice to make, for all of us to make that conversion, that seeing it's not just about us, it's about our whole cosmos. It's about carrying that forward into the next century, millennia, however you look forward.
Doesn't it seem, just to pick up what you're saying, doesn't it seem like it was hazardous of God to make one species choosers? Because that species then was most like God, and God is a chooser. Was and is and will continue to be a chooser. So Homo sapiens was a big dare on the part of God. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. Did you think when you chose the faith that it would be this what's the word I'm looking for? Challenging. But that's what's interesting about Mary. The challenge was to God to choose this woman to bear this son with all these highfalutin names connected to this baby, and it's just a baby that I'm having. I mean, like you're saying, my hope for my kids that you have for your children. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what keeps us going, that hope.
That the hope.
That we can get through this, we can work through.
And the hope is a grace. Mm-hmm. And the trust is a grace. And the ability to entrust yourself to the unknown, which is what God did with Mary. I keep using this word, God is odd. I mean, it doesn't seem like the wisest thing, but anyway.
When I was thinking about that we're caretakers of the earth and the limited resources, it seemed to me that, as I read the encyclical, that it's not just for the sake of the earth, but it's for the sake of the poor. And then
exactly.
The Pope brings the poor into the picture.
Exactly.
And I was thinking about how we enjoy green lawns and air conditioning. The poor do not have access to the limited resources.
Exactly.
Of the earth.
Yeah. And I don't know that anybody else has ever aligned those two things. The poor and the hazards that earth undergoes. And the hazards that people undergo because of the inequality of the distribution of the resources of the world. I don't know anybody's ever put those two together, but that's quite a challenge. You can be an environmentalist, and then the Earth's future is your challenge. Or you can be a social justice freako, and then the poor are your challenge. He sees these in direct alignment. That is remarkable, and that is challenging, and that is the extension of the meaning of the calling of Christ to each of us. I find it remarkable.
I like to read a lot and to approach things through literature a lot. And there's a writer, Marilynne Robinson.
Oh yeah.
I'm thinking of this week who does just that. She has three books. The first is Gilead, and then Home, and then Life. And she's taking the same subject matter and looking at it from different perspectives. In the first book, it really is a lot of the cosmos. It's a lot of nature. And it's, you know, in light of this week, the last book is about one of the main characters who was poor, abandoned. So I mean, it did start with the environment. And so it's the same connection. It was kind of came in a flash as you were talking this week. So I was interested in another, it's Marilynne Robinson. Mm.
So is Frances stealing her stuff, or is she stealing Frances' stuff?
I think she reads the Bible heavily. God brings her religion.
So when I was thinking, I took the contrarian perspective, and some of us sometimes will meet people that really think or take literally revelations, and really say that what we are doing is really moving toward the end of times and bringing the kingdom of God. So it's the other perspective. I don't agree with it, so probably I will not reflect it all that well. But it's there. It's in the media. It is in some fundamentalists that really think that basically we are just instruments bringing the end of times, and the sooner Agamemnon comes in, the better off we will be. It reminds me very much of the Cadars and of the Aegeans of the 12th, 13th century. It's that mentality. So how do we approach that kind of different perspective of what we are doing to nature, and people that think that what we're doing to nature is in the plan of God to bring the end of times?
What do you think of that?
Well, to me, the analogy is that if I was to kill you so that you are closer to God faster, that's my analogy. I don't agree with it, but it is the analogy. I think that maybe we are called to take care of each other. That definitely called it, the call of charity. And that goes completely against the call of charity that is embedded in our nature.
Yeah,
That's the way I see it. But
yeah.
It is there. That's the
point
I could be wrong, but I think that's a...
Could you please use this? No.
Well, I could be wrong, but I think that's also associated with a particular connection with American capitalism, that Protestant worldview. It may be prevalent in other parts of the world, but that particular millennial end of times Armageddon view is closely aligned with American capitalism. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see a lot of this is problem is economics, where our whole point of view has always been that it's been a rush for resources, and that's how you win, is you grab all the things. But I don't think that's actually where, at least in the modern world, where most of the money comes from. It's from our industry and technology that actually, and a lot of these problems that we're having are not that hard to solve. We just we have this attitude that, oh yeah, maybe it's millennialism, but it's, I mean, you could go away from fossil fuels in this country without that much. It wouldn't be that hard. It's just, we choose not to. And I think that's where your idea of where the spiritual transformation is what's needed as much as anything else.
Right here. So what I'm going to ponder a lot is this sense that comes out today's is the it's so easy to become overwhelmed by the scope and challenge, to be paralyzed by it, to feel helpless and hopeless, and then that turns into kind of a narcissistic, you know, kind of taking care of mine. You know, I have this little thing that I can do, and the challenge to recognize that in the call is the grace that says you're not too small.
Precisely.
You've been chosen by God for it. Yeah. And as foolish as that might be, God's engaged in the process. Yeah. And I think that there's, you know, so I took on marriage. That was a foolish thing. And, and it was way beyond my capacity. Mm-hmm. And I actually said out loud something that I knew in doing that was impossible. Mm-hmm. And I took on having a child, which was equally outrageous as an act, that you would have any confidence or any sense of capability in myself, or even as a couple, to actually take on that work of creating life and nurturing. And so there's, it's not like this is the first time any of us have taken on a call that was beyond the scale and scope of what we could, with any rational sense, claim that we could predict success and outcome. And so that's a confidence for me that as I ponder this call and what it means in my life, that when I get, when it drives me to the place of fear and too much, that no, God has collaborated with me and called me to other outrageous acts that have been sources of grace all along. So that's what I'm
talking about. Yeah. Let me just a comment on that, Bill. I think it was. Mary didn't have a gospel. She didn't have a New Testament. She had just this sense that this is what God has in mind for me, and for more than me. So all I can do is take it inch by inch, eke it out. Low Mariology, like low Christology, is a faith thing, not a sight thing. So if you go to the first of the seven signs in the Gospel of John, so there's this wedding party, and everybody's having more than they need to drink. But they need more to drink.
I know that.
This is not the place for confession. Let me go on. So she goes up to Jesus and she said, they're out of the stuff. So he says, what the hell do you want me to do? So she says, I don't know. So she says to the waiters, you take it from here. So he says to the waiters, fill up those things with water. So he's eking it out. She's eking it out. We're eking it out. The first sign to the followers of Jesus was it became wine. But the Jesus I love is not the Jesus who saw, but the Jesus who trusted. And where did he get that? He got it from his old lady. She trusted. She didn't see and then act. She trusted. He didn't see and act. He trusted. That's what's beautiful about our faith. Not sight, because we have the disadvantage of reading the thing from the back to the front. He was developing the thing from the front to the back. And what Francis is saying is, if you go all the way to the back, there's a new heaven and a new earth, and you have responsibility now in each little footprint to deliver the goods. It's too big for me. If everybody says it's too big for me, then it won't happen. Then we'll go from 36% heating in the last quarter century to 70% heating in the next quarter century, and we'll fry our ass. To put it scripturally.
Years ago, we were on a retreat with a young monk who looked sort of like a little elf. And
he did his best.
But the theme of the weekend was everything Mary has with Jesus, we have. And Mary has a special relationship that we don't have. So...
Well, like what? Like what? Like what? What is it that she had that we don't have?
She actually had Jesus kicking in her womb, which we can't have. But we have Jesus kicking in our womb in another way.
Okay.
So we have it... We have it, and yet there's some way we can't. She's still a special relationship.
Right.
So it stuck with us. I mean, it was probably 30 years ago. So when you're saying Mary didn't know what Jesus was going to do, she asked him. We don't know what Jesus is going to do. We asked him. So all what I've been doing today is taking all those things you said, what Mary did with Jesus, we can do with Jesus. So it really is, we don't know how he's going to make, what he's going to do for these people.
No.
We're just going to ask him and trust.
Right.
We don't know how he's going to appear to us. I mean, it's all, from Jeremy's thing, I've been putting me in all the places you put Mary, and I can still, well, I've been trying to.
I wonder, I mean, this is an imaginary moment, but I mean, I wonder if the relationship between her carrying this blastocyst, this embryo, this fetus, this infant, this child, I wonder whether there's an entrusting all the time. Like, we're in the same relationship as she was in relationship to Earth. As the womb, And all I have to make sure is I drink enough water, I ate enough food, I take care of this thing in my womb, because that's my responsibility. That's all I know. The angel only came once. And then Elizabeth confirmed what I thought. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I'm going on those two things, what I thought and what she said. I'm going on those two things. I don't see more. I entrust myself to the more I'm called to. So I think there's some kind of an analogy between her carrying the baby and our responsibility for the new creation. You can shuck it off and say, oh, come on, get real. Get real meaning what's real. As far as I know, the prolongation of the meaning of being in Christ and therefore called has something to do with this earth. And it coming to well-being as best each of us can deliver the goods. As far as I know, that's an extension of the meaning of vocation. It gets very material. Just as what went on in her womb for 9 months, but very material, as you mothers know.
When you were asking us to do the meditation on Mary, and it's an extension of what you're saying now, it seems like her work just started when Jesus was born. She had 30 or 33 years of being a mother, making the daily decisions that we all make as being part of the family. And in that, as much as the birth of Jesus, that led to where he's at, it seems like that's also part of our job, is just those responsible everyday decisions over the course of time end up being consequential, even though they're really hard to see in the day-to-day.
And they're each of them is little. I mean, there's the work of God in my womb, and the intention of God about that which is in my womb, insofar as I understand this, it's little by little. It's trust. It's entrustment. It's crazy. But that's the way God is. God depends. Why would God, who's independent of what God made, depend? I mean, that's crazy. But that's the way God is. Imagine what was rolling around in her womb and in her head when she's trying to figure out what the hell is the difference between the monotheism I have believed all my life, and what's going on? Imagine this. And then her telling the waiters, I don't know, but do whatever he tells you. So she didn't see. That's what's so interesting to me about the New Testament. Nobody saw the last chapter. They trusted. We don't see the last chapter between the cosmos now and the new heavens and the new. We don't see it. But it's very like what she was carrying, with all the question marks that formed in her, body and mind and heart. She carried the baby to term. And then she watched the mystery unfold as this little werewolf, you know, needed her every second. And then finally he didn't need her, and then finally he goes off, and then all the rest of the story. It's quite a story. So.
I just had one, my head is like exploding with trying to grasp around this, but.
It's coming out the right side.
But I also think this is like, this Pope is one of such immense, he's just an evangelizer that goes beyond our Catholic faith, and I feel an additional responsibility to figure out what does this mean for me and for my example, right. But also to share then and invite all those I know that when I just feel like we're not isolated as Catholics in
right.
this goal.
Right.
We have more potential than ever
right.
with this leader to get this message.
Yeah. And what's interesting from what you're saying is, I don't know what infallibility is. All I know is we have a namer. He has named. I trust that. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Thank you.
Lord, send out your Spirit.